that you could make me coffee, and now it's gone. So I don't know why it was removed.
Would you bring heavy things?
We will call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting here, and this is a meeting of elected officials and department heads. And we'll start things out here. I see a new face, kind of a new face. I'm looking at you. Hi.
Hi, Dana Christensen, First Assistant, County Attorney's Office.
So did everyone know Dana?
I think I was here a couple of months ago. Nice to see y'all.
County Attorney's Office. So be on your good behavior. He's going to be representing you. All right. Everyone's in a good mood today. I think it's the weather. All right. How about that? So let's go ahead and get started here. We'll start with the presentation. And each time we have a department head meeting, we hold an interactive educational presentation. And today we have Seats Director Tom Braze. And Tom, you have the clickers ready to take over. I'll get out of the way here.
Seats started for Ryan Rice in the employee year 1991,
94, 75, 69. Does everyone know what Seats is? Is this Johnson County or?
Yep.
Yeah. Rest of them have different.
How many do we have out?
Yeah, pretty much a tie, but it's 1975.
Isolated.
Okay, we need to move it down. Seats provided this many more trips in FY13 than we did in FY98, or more than 15 years ago. 25,000, 50,000, 75,000, or 100,000 more trips. Okay, I got 20 responses. Is that about right?
Surprised because you're going to get it.
The majority gets 50,000, but it was 75,000.
Good. Good.
133,000.
I did 20.
How many rides are you providing, Mike?
So these two for two.
Mike, what?
How many rides are you providing?
One ride.
What's the number of
one? No charge.
Right now,
what are
you thinking?
The next question was, what was the number of miles seats traveled in FY13?
Are these exact numbers?
Not exact. They're rounded by 5,000 or so.
Up or down.
Wow. That's hard. Tell me how much gas you use in that time.
Number 5 is correct.
Oh, no.
533,000 precise. The current average age of the seat's vehicles is 6.7 years and an average of 152,300 miles on it. What is the life expectation of a light-duty paratransit vehicle? One is 4 years and 120,000. Two is 5 years old and 130,000. Three is 6 years old and 150,000 miles on. Or four is 10 years old and 200,000 miles on.
This
sounds like something you're doing for a budgeting class.
Yeah. The next one is a train leaves Chicago.
Yeah. Seats bus leaves Chicago.
The answer is one. 4 years old and 120,000 miles on.
The buses are made where when you put them in park, the high idles goes up on them. So every time they're sitting, the miles, they get more and more wear and tear on that engine and everything because of the high RPM on the vehicle. Keep up with the lifts working, the heat and the coolness of the vehicle and everything like that. The vehicles are made of just like a fiberglass shell. And the first picture with the thing that burned up, it took about 2 minutes for that vehicle to get from that position from when the first flame was seen. So they're not very insulated, they're not very... Yeah. I went to Nebraska one time and one of those vehicles had rolled. The only one that survived was the driver.
Well, I would apply for a position driving.
So I encourage you to take more rides. How many phone calls does the seats department average per weekday? Five is correct, over 180 calls each day.
How many dispatchers do you have?
We got one dispatcher and one scheduler, and then we have three office people, and then we try to pull in another person for taking the calls.
What are the times that you're open?
The office is open 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., but the dispatchers are there until 5, one of the dispatchers. Okay, the county attorney's here. Service animals need to be certified before boarding a transit vehicle. True or false? Is false. There's no certification for service animals. We can't even ask too many questions or like we can get in trouble. We could ask, is it a service animal? If they say yes, you can. And if they, we could ask what service it provides. And those are the only two questions we pretty much can ask. The Department of Justice and the Department of Transportation have different standards for service animals.
I suppose the government has to be true.
It's never been one yet.
Yeah, you're correct. They have two different standards. You can take a plane ride with a comfort animal to L.A. If you get to L.A., the Department of Justice could possibly say, or somebody in a hotel could say, this animal can't stay in there and not recognize it as like a comfort animal or something like that. So the DOT recognized service animals as including comfort animals, which would keep the stress level down, and the Department of Justice doesn't. Pets are allowed to ride on seats vehicles.
Is the next question is, do they pay?
Good question.
Or does it depend on the weight?
Yes, we allow them if they're in a pet service container, and yes, if they take up another seat, they pay for being a companion.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So if they can't get into
it. So how do they put their paws in there to get them?
Put a little vest on them and say, "They're my service cattle that gets brought in."
The one that really under litigation was one in Seattle and King thing where it was a snake. He used it to get his change apparently or something like that. I don't know how. It turned out that they won, but that's what happened. Okay, 1, 2, 3, or 4. Personal care attendants must be allowed to ride freely on fixed route buses, paratransit services, subways, all public transportation.
legislature. Every election.
It's just two paratransits. So, they're the only ones that are required with the care, to have care attendants to be able to ride free. Can a person be determined to be eligible to ride in Coralville, be denied eligibility if they move to Iowa City or vice versa? So if somebody's made eligible to ride seats in Coralville, and they move to Iowa City, would they be able to just automatically be eligible or not? They are not eligible to ride. They have to do a whole new different certification.
But it's Scrooge.
But their pet doesn't, at least.
That's, the eligibility is all done by Iowa City and Coralville, so I don't have to worry about that. But, yes, that brings up many questions for our department. If the brakes don't work on a wheelchair, seats can refuse transportation, true or false? It's false. I mean, it's true. We do have to provide transportation. We have to provide transportation. If they can get it there, we got to get them going. So
it's false.
It'd be false.
You can't refuse service.
You can't
refuse service.
Yeah, so it'd be false.
So, yeah. And that's all.
Nice try.
Nice job.
Did everyone learn something today? Now, who's next? Who's next to do that? Do we know?
Oh, I'd have to look at the list.
We'll have to look at the list.
I'm
going to
do that.
Did you already do yours?
Okay, thank you, Tom. We'll move to item C, which is a work session with elected officials and department heads. And item one is under our human resources and Administrator Laura Schrammick. Her first item is on the NeoGov online applicant tracking system implementation.
If you don't mind, Terrence, I'd like to start with B.
We will start with the personnel request form. And Laura, if you can reach on over. Great.
As I look around the room, I think all of you have had an opening in the last 3 years. Just a reminder to complete the personnel request form before you start the recruiting process. That would be before we post the job, before a job description is completed. We want to have the personnel request form complete. The reason I wanted to go first is because item A, I have Lorena Gingrich here to talk about our new NeoGov online applicant tracking system, which will get rid of the need for this piece of paper.
So as Laura mentioned, we are very excited to launch the online tracking system. What we're hoping for is a launch of March 3rd. So applicants will be able to apply online. And what we're going to do is include an URL on the HR web page so that applicants will be able to click on that URL, and then they're able to go into the NeoGov system. And then they will also be able to see the positions that are open and the positions that they want to apply for. They will need to create a user ID and a password in order to do that. Any applicants who aren't able to apply online can come into the HR office and we'll be able to help them out. Also, if they have a disability, they can send us their email or their application or their resume, and we can actually submit that manually through the online system. As far as the personnel request form, we are planning on having this go through the NeoGov system. So each of the hiring managers will have to submit that through the NeoGov system with their user ID and their password, and then they include all the approvers, for example, HR, who has to review the job description, and then the Board of Supervisors. And how you will know that this has gone through is that you'll get an email and say, you'll generate the requisition, but then they get an email that tells them, hey, this is out there on the NeoGov system. You have to log in and you have to review the requisition, and then you have to approve it or discuss it or, you know, whatever the questions are on this this form. Does anybody have questions? March 3rd. I had put down March 1st, but I noticed that that was on a Saturday.
First week of March.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see. So as far as the personnel request form, like I said before, you will be answering the questions that are on that form. I don't think we've changed anything on that form. Everything's the same. And we will meet with everyone on a one-on-one basis to do departmental training for those who are going to have access to the system. I think at this time what we're going to do is we're going to do training as positions come open. So we're not going to do county-wide training because we feel that you know, you won't be using it that often that you'll have to, that you won't retain the information. So we'll just do it on a one-on-one basis. We'll be available. You're able to access the NeoGov system, and there are tutorials out there that can guide you. But we're planning on training you, first of all. And then if you want to go out there and look at those tutorials, you'll be able to do that as well. So you guys will create the training or the requisition. In this case, the personnel request form. It's the same thing through the NeoGov system. And then once that's created, then it goes to us, and then we're the only ones that can open up the requisition for posting. So we can post it to all the advertising venues that you want to advertise it on, but that's something that we have to do on our end. As hiring managers or as department heads, you can designate who you want on the system. For example, you'll be able to see all the applications, all the resumes that are coming in, and then you'll be able to send those to your interview team so that they can review them. You'll also be able to choose who you want to interview, on what date, because we have access to that information. We'll be able to see that information, and we'll be able to schedule those interviews as well.
So you would be scheduling all the interviews for applicants? Or
if that's what you want us to do, or you guys can do it in-house.
Okay.
Yeah, the way you guys are doing it. Yeah. And as I said before, we'll provide one-on-one training. So make sure that you really think about who you want to have access to that information. We do have originators, so if you have somebody that you want that person to create the requisition, you would have that person as an originator. You would have a subject matter expert, so anybody that's on the interview team, you could have those people. Nobody else sees the information, just the people that have access to that system. And then as far as communication, we have been working with Mickey Miller to create a press release, and we do have that finalized, and we're planning on sending that out tomorrow. Is that what we decided? Tomorrow. And then we also have an email that we've created that's going to be sent out to all the department heads and all the elected officials, just kind of outlining what the process is, what the timeline is, and, you know, things that are necessary to get this online. So then I would ask you, though, once you start working in the system, if there's something that you see that's kind of funky or that you don't like, please let me know so that I can let NeoGov know, because we do meet with them on a monthly basis. And there's several hundred customers, different cities, different counties, police departments. that are on the conference call, and they always bring up issues or concerns that they have with the system. And because of those that feedback, then they're able to make enhancements to the system. Did you have anything to add, Laura?
No, there are several Iowa entities already on the system. Johnson County is kind of late to the ball game. Linn County, Ames, there's just a whole list of Iowa, and everybody loves it. So I hope we do too.
And Scott County also has it as well.
Quick question. With the application online, I'm assuming they'll still be able to like upload their resume. Some of the more specific stuff.
That's one of the nice things, is that applicants are able to attach a cover letter and the resume. Okay. The application has already been set, so it's just the questions that they're going to be answering when they create their user ID and their login, and then when they apply to the position.
In this way, if somebody applies for a position in Rick's department, isn't successful but wants to be considered in another department, you know, that's all electronic. We don't have to hand, you know, make copies, all that. So it's going to be a lot more efficient.
And then each of you will have access to your own dashboard when you go into the NeoGov system. So you'll be able to see what positions you requested, the job descriptions that were attached to those positions, what steps did you take to interview those folks, and things like that.
The other big benefit is communication with the applicants. We were seeing so many calls in human resources. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me, you know, where you are in the process? They're going to be able to look and see, are we on first round interviews? Are we on second round interviews? Have we not even selected those to be interviewed yet? So it's going to help with the communication with applicants.
And then we're also able to send out communication once the position is filled to let them know that the position has been filled. And it'll be more efficient because it'll be through their email address, and we won't have to send that. Oh, and we also will have a computer in the HR office in case we do have folks who aren't able to apply or who don't have access to a computer or who need an accommodation. We'll be able to help them out.
That was one of the areas that I know we were a little concerned about.
Or like if someone has a disability and they can't come in, they can send us their resume or their application, and we'll be able to enter it manually.
Great. Yeah, those were the kind of things that I know the board looked at. Mm-hmm. Primarily, though, we looked at the fact that a lot of other communities and counties and governments and cities are all doing this, and the consistency that it does create, and that there just hasn't been a lot of red flags by going to this system. And I think the main thing is the consistency, but also you talked a little bit about efficiency, and I think those two things probably were really part of that decision making.
Well, and it'll be nice that the hiring managers will be able to look at the resumes and the applications right away, and then if they want to, they can forward that to their interview teams.
Good.
To help on your postage budget?
Actually, it will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I print everything.
All right. Any other questions in regards to NeoGov? And this is something I think we're expecting folks to use.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm sure there will be some bumps down the road, but you know, hopefully they'll be able to assist us with those. And they have a great technical team, so we've been very happy with them.
All right, Laura, what else do you need? That's all? Okay. Any questions for Human Resources? Great. We'll move to the Board of Supervisors. And our first item is under item 2A, which is employee name badges and key cards.
And that's me.
Yep.
We're going through cleaning up all the various accounts in our system, and come to the realization that we're only required to have one ID card. And we have several departments and people with two or three. So what, as I want to talk to the board about it, is that's pretty much their decision, but I would like to go through over the last month or so, see what badge has been used, and we'll eliminate the other ones. For it's a security issue more than anything else, because you cannot tell who's going into what place if a convenience badge is being used to, let's say, access the third floor. Because that don't tell me who was up there. It just says, this is what it is. So, short of looking at the, you know, the tape up there and see who walked through the door, I can't tell who's kind of going. And if we have an incident here, we kind of need to know who walked through the door and when. And right now, we can't do that.
Does anyone anticipate that being a big problem if we make that change? Mike, you're one?
No, I'm just actually a comment. If we have two cars that are both registered us and we keep one in our car, we just keep one like this. I mean, those of us that are in here 24/7.
Well, and I understand where you're coming from, but correct me, Laura, if I'm wrong, but according to what it states is you should only have one ID so that I know you walk through the door.
But the second one I've had for ever since I've been here, it's not an ID, it's just one of those HD cards.
But it has your name on it.
No, it doesn't.
The thing is, like up at the court, and I'll use the courthouse as an example. They had an old system using the regular white cards. So it's somebody's name, and in their middle initial, instead of putting their middle initial on, they put ID. So there's quite a few people that have two cards. Some are still using the old card, some are not. What I want to do is try to clean the system up so that we know who's using what. Now, and I have a key fob, which is I carry to get in, that's on my key so I can come and go through the gates. But I only have one ID. That's what I'm trying to eliminate. Because this comes up as a fob right on the street and it's printed up, so I know if somebody uses a fob or has a fob, I know they use that to get in.
How many of my IDs are there? That one doesn't have my name on it.
We'll see once I pull it up in the history. I'm on the security deal committee, and you know this has been a never-ending deal. What can we do if something happens? Who gets in? Who does what? We've had issues, and I've been asked to look up who's coming in at what time. Well, I can't tell you who it is if I don't have an accurate count.
I don't disagree with that, but if they're both registered in my name. See, if I am accountable for one car,
you should only have one.
But that's the way it's said. I'm accountable for both of them.
You have enough.
Yeah.
But I can understand having one ID, but why can't you have multiple cards with the same ID?
Yeah, that's one. Well, let's use your name, for example.
Many people do.
Followed
by some
experts. Lois, since you brought it up, you have three cards. One is being used as a convenience stuck underneath the counter. And in the last 2 weeks, that you have been exercising every day at least three times a day. And I know that you are.
You asked for it.
I have no idea, short of going back. Somebody else to use your
car. I signed in this bill when I was.
Thanks. I haven't lost any weight, by the way.
So somebody using our little
convenience
card to go exercise.
Oh, yeah.
But why don't they have their own?
Well, the other thing is, there's other departments that want a convenience card because if Sally or John forgets their card, and use that card to get in and out. Well, it ought to be one of them deals. If you forgot your card, shame on you. Somebody's going to know more if they have to ask to get back in again than to say, well, hell, I don't care. I'll just grab this card here. In and out I go and wherever I want to go. And that's the other problem we're having issues with. they'll take that card and use it someplace other than using their own. So if the board so deems that you need a convenience card for your department, then the department has to set up something saying, Sally, check this out from 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock. So then we know Sally is going around letting herself in wherever she wants to. Right now, you cover a lot of area.
That's what people tell me. Because I have an exercise.
I don't know.
So I have 3 cards?
Yes, you do.
So, Eldon, do we have an inventory of who has what?
I have I think there's like 50 pages of cards.
Yeah.
Who's assigned to what card? And that's how we came up with that, because we were trying to narrow down by departments is what it's set up by now. I mean, you might have like the treasurer or the treasurer, no parking, you know, that kind of thing. You think you'd get by with two, but I mean, there's like 4 or 5 for each department. The auditor is even worse because they have, every time they hire a new temp, they get a different, because they come at different times. So that was what we were trying to do, was clean up our system when we stumbled on the fact that so many people have extra cars.
Eldon, can you go over, because I think part of the issue here is the process. So, you know, I'm rushing out the door and I come to work and I realize I've forgotten this. What are people supposed to do?
Well, they should probably go down to stop at HR, and you can probably get a temporary card. The only thing is, every time we have to print up a new card, it costs us $5-6. I can't remember.
But I thought both HR and the treasurer had the idea was, well, here, we'll get you in right now, and then keep track of.
Well, the treasurer, they push a button and unlocks the door, and you do.
I don't mean into their office. I mean for the parking.
For parking too. Did you have to pay $5 that you didn't get back, or you got back 3 of it, or something?
Well, your parking going through the gate is on your car. That's how you.
But if you forget it, if you arrive to work and forgot your car, I thought we had something set up.
And I'm not aware of that. I'm perfect to go.
Yeah.
That's what's happening in some cases is people are saying, oh, well, if somebody forgot it, then here, use this one, and then that's not, you know, nobody's paying for that, frankly, so.
Well, I mean, I was more concerned about who's coming into what building than I was who was parking where.
And I think that's the gist of it is that there's so many cards out there, and it just takes one that could access information that you don't want people to access if they're bad people. So,
yeah, anybody could find the right card. You're right. And if it was a master card, then they could get it any place, anywhere in buildings, not just here.
MasterCard versus the Visa.
Yeah, that's it. Don't leave home without it.
So, Eldon, what was your direction from us?
Well, what I want to do is be able to pull up the last couple of months and see what card have been used, and the one that is not being used is the one that's going to be shut off.
Okay. And that was...
All I got to do is change it to no access.
Right.
And then maybe everybody's kosher with it. If Bill loses the first one, I could get the other one back and make an access.
Okay.
But I want to be able to bring in who's got what.
All right, and so you're thinking a timetable by April 1?
Yeah.
All right. And then you'll work with each of the departments and let them know what's going on?
I'll send out a notice.
Okay.
Well, I have to go talk to everybody anyway as soon as I run who's got what.
Okay.
And then by the time we narrow down how many people have how many cards, and, yeah, then we'll just send out a notice to those people saying, here it is.
Yep.
And,
you just don't want to shock somebody
now
it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That was why that was on the agenda. All right. Let's move to item 2B, which is the 2014-2016 Johnson County Strategic Plan, and I'll have Andy start with that. And
sure. I put this on just because the board did adopt a strategic plan the first Thursday in February. and it does contain all of the goals that were identified in the during the August retreat with department heads and elected officials. It does not specifically have the salary survey is the one thing that wasn't included, but that was because, as the board talked about it, they didn't really see that as a goal, but could be built in with within some of the other goals. So it's not a decision not to do it. It was just a sense that that's sort of an action, not necessarily a goal. So there's three priority areas and five goals under each one, and each board member has responsibility for one of the goals under each of the priorities. It's up on the website along with timeline, which is pretty aggressive for the first 6 months. So,
Andy will be busy.
Well, the board members. So I don't know if there's any questions or if you've had a chance to look at it, but I thought since it was adopted.
Probably, you know, everyone should take a look at it, and particularly those departments that we have direct authority over, and there's about 12 of you, they likely will have something to do with you. So each of us will be communicating with you in regards to reaching out and trying to accomplish some of these things that we as a group have come up with. This is part of the job we call the policy part. We sometimes forget that, but as elected people, that's what we're supposed to do. And so this kind of gives us a good roadmap. So if you could all take a look at that and help us achieve those goals, that would be very helpful. Okay, and we just pass that about a week here ago or so. So that is official now as far as of the record. Item C, fiscal year 2015 budget.
And this was on I wanted to make sure people were aware of the budget hearing next Tuesday at 6 o'clock in the boardroom. I'm not sure why Dana's not here, but if there were any questions, I think that the finance department has sent out to every department revised budget sheets after the meetings, which that's a first. At least while I've been here, which I think is really helpful. So hopefully you've seen what's been decided. So I don't know if there's any questions or
just past practice. This is something we highly recommend you attending. This is for the good of the public. If you remember last time, Tom was on the hot seat probably the most, as we had members from the community questioning some of the seats budget from last year. So you just never know who's going to show up, but it is nice to have our experts there to be able to answer those questions if they do arise. So, and are we going to do a little cookies or something beforehand? Did you work on that?
Talk about that. So about half an hour beforehand.
Maybe a half hour before a little reception.
We'll be walking while we eat the cookies.
There might be raisins. Maybe raisins in the cookies.
One of the budget is a happy half hour.
Yeah. But that would be great if you all can attend it. If you cannot attend, please let your liaisons know if you are, again, under the authority of us, and so we can make accommodations. And we're also putting the presentations together, and so there may be a few of you that are going to be called into action to help assist in the presentation, so you're aware. All right, we'll move to state and federal legislative issues for 2014. This includes pending legislation affecting Johnson County, and we are now in the midst of the legislative session. Obviously, probably the department impacted the most is our MHDS department, and Chris is handling things very well as we transition into the regional system. But there's a lot of issues that the Urban County Coalition team is working on. The Urban County Coalition is the organization that is a part of Johnson County and Linn County and Blackhawk County and Scott County. And this is an organization that we have joined in lobbying efforts to advocate for things that we think collectively as an urban region will advocate for. And so we do have that priority list laid out. And so often you may, as we kind of get a little closer to the end of the legislative session, you'll start to get those phone calls and maybe some information from ISAC for information for our lobbyists. So when you do get those emails, if you could respond, those would be greatly appreciated. I know, like Larry and I, we have some work we're doing on trails here in the next couple of weeks. But often, again, you'll you may get the call for assistance. What other information you
need? I didn't know if there were any things that department heads or elected officials were monitoring that you wanted to bring up and let the board know about. We do get the periodic reports from the lobbyists, and I try to glance through it and see who else might be interested in and copy in on them. Yep.
There was a bill, this is a bill from the assessor's office. There was a bill to redact and certain addresses and names for the treasurer, the auditor, the recorder, and the assessor, and that bill has died, in case you were tracking that. Yeah, that bill's gone away.
Good.
Purchase management, we've been working with Rob, and I think maybe you got here. You know, Terrence as well, reverse messaging.
And I think the coalition has agreed to direct the lobbyists to change to supportive of that. So that'll change from monitoring.
They made another hurdle last year.
Good.
I was informed yesterday that a bill I've been working on sealing of juvenile court records made it out of subcommittee yesterday. That was good. Funnel date.
Good. I know, Greg, you're watching the gas tax issue and potential funding of that.
As I am on a National Transportation Committee for the Public Works Association, and I get things periodically where they pass on legislative activities that we may not hear here locally, and I'm passing that on to anybody that pass on to you all for your information. There's lots of things that come through the subway, so to speak.
Great. And as we continue to talk about state issues, Andy Johnson and I will be in Washington, D.C. next week to start our advocacy at the National Association of County levels. So if you have federal issues you want us to pass along, please let us know. We're finalizing those issues as well at the federal level. So if you have things of that nature, let us know. Yeah.
There is one more. There's a bill. Right now, we get a lot of information requests download all of our databases, and most of them from California, accumulating large databases. There's a bill now in the legislation that says only citizens of the state of Iowa can ask for those for a minimum charge. The out-of-state would have to pay a much higher fee. And that's one that the assessors are supporting, in that it takes a lot of effort, especially in the smaller jurisdictions, to provide all this data, and it's a real burden. If they don't do it, they get sued, and they've lost. And now, if the legislature goes into effect, the out-of-state people will be set on a different level, that they would have to pay more of the actual cost.
Yeah, we'll be. I know that one. Been watching that for a few years, and again, it has to do a little bit with interstate issues as well. Not in the road, but the actual constitutional limitations, if you will, in regards to fairness, charging one state versus another, and things
well,
of that nature.
Court,
so,
the Supreme Court had a ruling on that that said that. Mm-hmm. Can differentiate between in-state and out-of-state. So that's why they're pushing it this year.
Yeah. Okay, so again, keep us posted on things. If you hear things, if you do go to Des Moines, let us know. We'd like to have you get to meet our lobbyists. They really appreciate when they get to see a face up there. And there are several times when you just happen to be in Des Moines, our lobbyists will actually get you in front of a subcommittee. So that can happen as well. So like Larry and I are going to be in front of the infrastructure subcommittee next week, right? So is it next week already? So there are times like that, but they often like to see a face, and so if you are going to be into Des Moines for any kind of capital visit, please let Andy know, and we'll get you lined up with our lobbyist. Okay, any other business under the Board of Supervisors? Good. We'll move to reports and updates, and our first is under committee reports. And this is an opportunity for us to go through some of those committees that we encourage you or your employees to participate in. And I don't know if there's a particular order you'd like to start with, but who wants to go with what? We'll maybe start with employee outreach. What do we call that committee now? Isn't it EEEEE?
EQ.
Yeah? What are all the E's stand for?
Employee engagement and
events.
And what? Events?
And events.
Yeah, events, employee engagement, or something of that nature. Who's on that? Who's our Sue? Is it Janelle?
I think it must be Janelle.
Who's on that? Who's on EEE? Yes. How's EEE going along?
There's been a lot of emphasis on the first two, and not the third.
Yeah.
There's been some relevancy to change the name from the communications committee, but I wasn't prepared to provide an update on that, but it's going well. We talk about our display in the hallways, and then starting to discuss promotional items for the upcoming fair, and coming up with new ways for improving morale.
Great. I know a couple things coming up here pretty soon. Month of April typically is the National Association of Counties County Government Week. This year, the theme, Dave, you should know this, is county resiliency. And this is an effort that Linda Langston, who is our president of the entire association from Linn County, is advocating for. So has to do primarily with emergency response. And so that will be of emphasis. But if you think about it, every one of your departments participate in that sort of activity as well. So keep that in mind. That's coming up. And then I know Bike to Work Week is coming up in May. And looks like we're trying to get a reservation again like we have in the past to have folks ride their bikes to work and then have a little event, a breakfast in the morning. So I think Josh Bassard is working on that level. So any other things under EEE? All right, what other committees do we have? Anybody from wellness? I know that the Wellness Committee had previously given the Board of Supervisors their request of parking funds, and looks like we're going to have some more new equipment upstairs coming. So so you're aware of that, and I think even a new television is coming. What other departments or committees?
Diversity.
Diversity? Mm-hmm. Let's talk diversity.
Speaking of parking funds, we are looking at training programs and having someone come in and present to us all the different programs and options so that we can have a very planful approach with the diversity training.
Okay, great. Anyone think of any others that need to provide a report?
Green team.
Yeah, green team, safety, any of those? Yes.
Safety, the only thing I can remember is, I think the last week in February, or that's next week, we'll be doing a safety inspection on the first floor of the administration building, other than the public areas that have already been done, so the auditor, treasurer, medical examiner, human resources.
Finance department.
Great.
Hey, something to add to that is, this is where your own, everybody's information is, they started working on the new camera system for one. So if you see Freeman's guys walking around here, that's what they're doing right now, pulling cable to get ready for the new cameras.
Yeah, he was in my office today, so nice guy.
For the hidden camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, I asked him, he said, we're just putting a camera in. I said, oh, watch out for the microphone. It's already...
Oh. You're already, it's already tapped.
Yeah, I was going to say, now they're going to be watching. But...
Okay, anyone from Green? I know I mentioned the bike event.
Is there any other? I was going to say, I'm on Green team, but Tom, go ahead. I don't know. When I was thinking Green team, the only I could only think about in there was looking out the window and seeing white. So when I went to my first meeting, so that's why I say it was my first meeting, so that's why they covered a number of things that I was not totally up to speed in. Still, I'm not. I had to reschedule my initial meeting with Josh and Becky, so still waiting on that. So that's why I was like, go ahead, Tom.
They're going to be dedicating a bike repair thing over here before too long. That's probably going to be around bike work week or whatever. It's nice enough out there to dedicate it. We're working on different proposals and stuff like that. That was nothing really in depth except for being prepared. We have a wellness or like a lunch session and stuff for free.
Great deal. Okay, so cover that committee work enough. All right, we'll move on to reports and updates from department heads and elected officials. And Lynette, go ahead and start if you could. And if as we go around the horn here, if you could just state your name and your department for the good of those listening and for the auditor. Thank you.
Lynette Jacoby, Social Services. It's that time again, tax time. If you are interested, I have brochures here. We've been working again this year with Tippy College of Business to offer the VITA, which is Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Clinic. So the VITA clinics offer free tax preparation services. There's about 37, I believe, different clinics that are offered now through April 14th. These are free to households earning $52,000 or less in 2013. So feel free to take extras to set out at your calendars if you'd like as well.
Thank you. Kim?
Kim Painter, County Recorder. I guess we're kind of in that time of year where we have, on the real estate side, a little bit of a dip in activity, and it's more pronounced this year. I saw some statistics nationally last week that indicated applications for mortgages and refinancings are down nationally in a pretty serious way. So we'll see how that carries through. We're still up, I think, by about 10% on revenues over last year. So we're still holding our own, but we'll just kind of see economically how things hold up. That always has an effect on us. And the other thing, we have a bill in the legislature that's out kind of floating around that would increase the amount of money we get for a marriage application. It would not increase the fee for the public to apply, but it would actually take money that currently goes to the state general fund and give the county an extra $10 out of the $35 we collect. And we've gotten kind of surprisingly some really strong bipartisan support on that, so that may alter our fees on marriages a little bit. So we'll see. I guess that's about it.
Thank you. Dave.
Dave Wilson, Emergency Standing. Loving the snowfall every other day. Big event coming on Thursday. 50-degree weather right now, but there's about 3.5-4 foot of frost on the ground, so we're just monitoring for the spring run.
I had heard that the amount of snow on the ground right now equals 1 to 4 inches of rain. What have you?
Last week we were at the Quad Cities and said the snowpack around us is actually about an inch.
Okay.
Water conversion.
Okay.
Most of it, because it's been so cold, most of it's been lighter, fluffier, with low moisture content. But the problem becomes yesterday it was a pretty wet snow. As we get later into the season, these snows will be more wet as we get them.
Yeah.
The bad side is that frost is driving pretty deep. I mean, up around Anamosa and Dubuque, they've got areas of 4 to 5 inches of frost. So.
Feet?
Yeah. 4 to 5 feet, yes, right now. Mm-hmm. So is that the frost needs to get out of the ground so you can absorb some of that water runoff? Because actually we're still in a drought, slightly in a drought condition, but we won't be able to realize any of that water absorption until the frost is out of the ground. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if it rapidly melts and then we get rainfall on frozen ground, big time runoff.
Yeah, I've already told
and others will be busy again.
really.
Yeah, I told.
Kind of tired of it.
I told my wife that we can't schedule any vacations quite yet for April and May and June. So.
And Gertrude will be crap in the spring with that frost coming up.
The gravel road system.
Gravel roads. Yeah.
What did they say for days above a certain temperature to actually try and clear most of the frost?
You know, they didn't get that far into the weeds. They just said, you know, our ideal picture would be we are starting to see a warm up in the trends, believe it or not. So they're predicting we're going in more of a spring weather type pattern.
Yeah, well, it's easier to get a warm up though when you're at -30.
But the ideal would be those warm days followed by cold nights, you know, kind of freeze thaw, mm-hmm. back and forth. And then other than that, we're just working with them. Lynette on some stuff for homeless folks.
Yeah,
I mean, for the safety.
Sounds like we're supposed to have a rain event even on Thursday, so, or something in between. But
some type of precipitation, their blizzard warning out for the Des Moines area already on Thursdays.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's, either way, I mean, if it's rain, then we'll have some flooding, but things of that nature. Okay, and Dave, you have emergency awareness storm week actually coming up, right?
Well, we have two things coming up. We have storm spotter training at the Corbel Library. I can send that flyer out for our events again. There's over 70 folks signed up for that, and then severe weather awareness week will be coming up here in March.
Yeah.
First week of the state weather command group. So we'll send a press release out on that as well.
Okay.
It's that time of year.
That time of year for tornadoes. Already. All right, keep going down. Larry?
Larry Gullin with Conservation. We have quite a few projects going on right now, and one of them that the staff's been working on for about 4 or 5 years now is the transfer of Williams Prairie. I don't know if all of you know where it's at. It's about 3 or 4 miles north and west of Kent Park. And I think it's about 25 or 26 acres. It's owned by the Nature Conservancy. And it's a high-quality prairie run that's never been plowed. It includes several rare and endangered species. And the Nature Conservancy could not really manage it and take care of it well. So 5 years ago, they entered into an agreement with the Conservation Board in a transition plan. And we've now finished that transition plan. Within the next month, they'll officially be transferring that property to Johnson County. And we'll be more responsible for the future. The Conservation Board is also starting the strategic plan. Since we're a little bit more specialized than the county at large, we've engaged the Institute for Conservation Leadership. They're a consortium of planners that specialize in helping conservation organizations. They're based out of Maryland. But next, or March 4th and 5th, Elaine Chaney will be here. She's the planner we selected. And over the next 6 to 7 months, we're going to develop a strategic plan. And there may be several of you in the room that are asked to participate in the program, or at least interview with Elaine in developing the plan. We just finished our annual report for 2013. That will be posted in the next week or two. We're doing a lot of work on the Hoover Trail, trying to connect it from Ely down to Solon. There's a lot happening behind the scenes with that project. And then by March 7th, the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation is going to close on a property. It's about 172-acre property up close to Sutton. And we'll announce that after. When the Heritage Foundation closes on it, then that'll give us 1 or 2 years to help leverage the bond money to buy down the cost. And so even though the Heritage Foundation will own it, we've entered into an agreement with them that we're going to buy it back. So we're excited about that project too. So.
Great.
Bridgewater Planning and Zoning is clear. We're building up for a new building season. We had a good one last year and we're going to continue
So I didn't know most of you are aware that Ruben Arsace retired in 1970. So I left an open spot in the office. So we went through the hiring process. We have 70 applications out in HR. We got about five really good people. We hired a gentleman last week. He was actually married to someone in Bill's office, out in Cambridge. But so he's very well-rounded in all the fields. He's not certified in any of them, so we'll be getting training for him to be certified. So when we do start building heavy, we're building now, obviously. When we start getting the heavy season, we'll have another certified inspector to help out.
Great. I met him today and already told him that we have a lot of buildings coming up around with secondary roads and hopefully something to do with the courthouse or jail at some point, so use his expertise then too.
We'll practice.
Oh, speaking of projects, Eldon, do you have a few?
One or two. Eldon's water facilities manager. One, right off the bat, the board hired a construction manager for the secondary roads to watch over everything that goes on out there, and he started Thursday. So it's Michael Kennedy, he's just still getting his feet wet, where are things at, what are things going on. That's probably the major thing to the department, other than everybody is tired of it. So if you have any influence, please shut up. I've had enough.
I noticed the bioswale at the end of the parking lot is, I don't know, how many feet is that?
I don't know.
Call it Mount Bio?
Yeah, Mount Bio. Yeah.
We're going to dig that out tonight, so in case the big flood shows up, it's got a place to go.
Yeah.
So, but we've got probably minimum 30 loads of snow right over here against the parking lot.
If you wait long enough, you'll only have 20.
What's that?
If you wait long enough, there'll only be 20 loads. It's smelling pretty good.
We're going to try to move it tonight, and then, but we're dumping everything to the north from here on out for right now. It's really eating up the budget real quick. All the time, and all the snow removal that we've got, which I'm sure grades is just as bad, if not worse than mine. But anyway, that's about all we've got right now.
Where did they take this poor farm? They drag it all the way up there.
Unless you got a spot where you put on.
The city won't let you just dump it down there where they dump their snow?
We have to dump our own snow somewhere.
Okay, thanks. Greg, how are things going out there in the road system?
Greg Burger County Engineer. I think, like everybody, in the beginning of the snow, everybody's excited, and they're not so excited anymore. Staff is getting extended. They've been working long days, lots of hours. They're starting to get burned out, quite frankly. I think it's just been one of those winters that we haven't had in many years. So other than that, we have no idea what's going to happen to us this spring. I would anticipate we're probably going to have lots of road issues the way things are looking right now. Heavy rains or continual rains would help draw the frost out of the roads. That is always a good thing, but then you have the downside of rain, so and flooding. From a construction standpoint, we're preparing for probably one of the biggest construction years I've had since I've been here. I think we're looking at over $15 million in the construction of our department this summer. And we're wrapping our arms around that, trying to figure out the best way to handle that. And staff is doing an excellent job. We're also preparing for a 5-year meeting at 3 o'clock a day. So we've been spent, other than the fact, I don't know about your department staff, but the sickness thing has gone through my department very bad. I've been dealing with this thing for 3 weeks. And it's taken a lot of my key personnel out of my office for many days. Over the past couple weeks, it's not good, but we're just Go spring, go summer.
And would you give everyone an update too on where we are for, if anyone asks you guys for sand and salt, the county, what where we're at for that?
We're okay. We have purchased our 100% allotment for the year, and we still have a lot of material left in our main sand salt storage shed, if you want to call it that, the dome. I think that we still can order up to an additional 400 ton, which is available to us. So the way things are looking now, which can change, I think we're okay to get through the year. It's what is going to happen to us next year. Because typically we like to go into the next season with a little bit of storage in our shed, and I don't think we're going to have that this year. So, it's you pay now or pay later kind of activity. But we're doing okay. The equipment's holding out. All the rebuild trucks are doing well. I mean, which is a good thing. I know that was a major concern for staff to make sure we can handle any events that hit us, but we're doing the harvest doing a fantastic job.
Great, and I know, Greg, your department was mentioned quite a bit in our budget in regards to our press release that we put out there. Folks, if you don't know, we had, a pretty bad fire. We're going to be using emergency bonding to pay for that. That project is at $4 million range. That was just for the building. We lost, I don't know how many vehicles.
Nine vehicles around the building, and four of those were totaled. Five we had to rebuild.
And several of these are $200,000-$300,000 type vehicles.
That's
so
$250,000 each.
Okay, Chris. Anything happening with MHDS?
Chris Hartley, MHDS. Internally, we are converting our management information system to CSN because that's the direction the region wishes to go. It's going to be a lot of data to convert and double check, triple check, and make sure that everything stays in line. So that's on the agenda between now and June 30th. I don't know if any of you have paid attention. I think it's on Channel 9, Cedar Rapids. I've been seeing a little blurb of an advertisement of some, looks to me to be a CEO from a hospital, talking about the dilemma that hospitals are facing because psychiatric patients are being requested to be pre-screened medically by them before we can make psychiatric placements around the state of Iowa, and that's draining their resources. So I'm very anxious to see where that little conversation goes, because it is a big problem right now. We've got a rather broken system. Externally, with the region, the 28E agreement was blessed by the Department of Human Services, and it's my understanding that it is one of two out of the 28E agreements that have yet to be approved that came through with how any initial changes needed to be made. So that's a good thing. We think there will be sufficient funds to get started, but we're very hopeful that the legislature will continue to look at per capita arrangement. They have this fiscal year of $47.28 per person, because if they can extend that through 2016, I think we'll be able to do all the core services throughout the whole region, plus work on the new work additional services they'd like us to get started. And then the other large item on the agenda is that the local mental health center has been awarded the contract by Magellan to begin the integrated health home program starting April 1. And we have somewhere between 180 and 200 clients who will be eligible for that piece of service coordination. And it's not a really would you like the service, it's you will take the service. So they will no longer have targeted case managers. And until yesterday, I was hesitant, very hesitant, and a lot of reservation on this whole transition. But it just so happens that one of our staff members has been offered the job of becoming the director of the Integrated Health Home Program. So Stephen Apostle will be leading us within 2 weeks to get that program started through the Mental Health Center. And for me, it's a huge sense of relief because I know there will be a wonderful coordination and transitioning for our clients. We hate to see him leave, but he will do an excellent job. And I'll defer to Mr. Sullivan. My brain is supposed to be dead on all this stuff. Is there anything else you think they want to know about the region?
I can't imagine they'd want to know anymore.
I have to share with you, we had a logo contest because we wanted to have a regional logo, and we had quite a few nice submissions.
from about 5 different counties, either personnel, providers, people in the community. And so all I did was hand 9 Board of Supervisor members little dots. Please go put your dot on the, I think for their 9 or 10 entries, 10 entries, put your dot on the one that you want. And so one of them received more dots than the other. So I handed them a second dot. And I said, please go put your dot on, because this one had about 5 or 6 different entries on it. And all the board members did a wonderful job with that second dot, except a new person at the table. And her dot went on another one entirely. So I never did quite figure that out. So we only got 8 dots on the winning logo rather than 9, but it'll work. So one of these days we'll have that up on the website. We've been trying to put all the minutes on the our local website too, so that the agendas and website minutes of the meetings are out there. People are interested in reading all that, but it's a little tedious after a while.
All right, thanks. Tom.
Tom Brace, Johnson County Seeds Department. Snow slowed our vehicles down, but it didn't slow down the demand for trips, so we're still growing in that way. That's about all I have.
Great.
Bill Griesel, County Assessor. We had a change in the law last year that moved the date of our assessments up by 2 weeks. So normally we would, the final date for us to change value would be April 15th, now it's April 1st. But by the time we'd like to give people at least 2 weeks of notice to come in and talk to us so that we can change the value in case they have an issue. So that moves our date to when we have to have all of our work done by March 1st, which is coming up pretty close. And so that is a big deadline for us because that's when we have to have all the changes of value out there. And then it goes through the computer system, and then we notify about the middle of March, and it gives everybody has 2 weeks to come in and talk to us. So we are pushing up against that deadline. We did appreciate the moving 2 weeks up forward because a lot of data we don't get in until January 1st. And like the winter we had this year, getting out and inspecting those properties has been a real challenge. So we will get everything done by the 1st of the month, and then the notices will go in mail about 10 to 12 days later, and then people can come in and talk to us about their values. As you speak to people who have real estate and they ever have any question, please encourage them to come in and talk to us while we can still change the value. That would be before April 1st, instead of having them have to file an appeal with the Board of Review. So any questions, any discussions they want to have, please encourage them to talk to us. And this year it's been especially difficult. We had this business property tax credit that everyone that had a business had to come in and sign up a credit if they wanted like a homestead credit for the businesses. And that was a new program that the legislature figured out, and that was a real challenge to administer that and to get everybody, as many people as we could, signed up. We ended up getting about 80% of the people. And so it depended on kind of where you lived. If you lived in Oxford and Don Saxon came in, he would sign for you if you didn't get in and sign or not. So anybody could sign to anybody. So even though Don was no longer mayor, he made a point of coming in and checking to see who didn't sign up, and then he would sign up for everybody. And then if hardware store guy in Solon saw him doing it, so all of a sudden he said, tell me everybody that didn't sign up. And I was just waiting for Kelly Hayworth to come in. I was dragging everybody. But that didn't happen. So if you lived in Oxford or Solon, you probably got your assignment. That's all.
Thanks.
Good. Gary Wilson, I live in Veterans Affairs. So about a year and a half ago, the gentleman to my right, that's Mike, he was on the committee that hired me. He didn't enlighten me on the unique, diverse group of veterans that I'd be working with. Would anyone like to hear about them in the last month? Please say no. So, it's been an interesting month. Back on the theme of the box of chocolates for Valentine's, but I've helped veterans in the past month, 2 transgenders, another veteran who was in prison for 10 years, excuse me, for a sexual offender, a veteran who was kicked out of the military after a year from being overweight, and a veteran from Vietnam in 1971 that wants help upgrading his discharge from bad to good. Pound of pot, and he accidentally discharged his weapon about 60 times and killed 10 cows. So, so back to Mike not telling me that. He's leaving the commission here in May. His term is up, so the Veterans Affairs Commission will have two vacancies effective 1 June. RJ, I believe, is going to throw his name in the hat again to remain. Mike's moving on to the air fryer thing, so that's really all I have.
Okay, thanks.
Can you counsel or reply?
Well, the thing is, to upgrade a discharge, you really have to do it within the first, you know, 15 years. It's been a little bit more than that. So it's going to be difficult to get this gentleman's discharge upgraded. So you get it upgraded, you can apply.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
Mike Hedge, Medical Examiner Department. Nothing much new. We had record year last year in case volume information from Med Insurance, and that's not changing. So we're pretty much at the same volume on every day of the week and every shift of the day. So it just keeps growing and growing.
And we have donor awareness coming up. I know there was one day
in April we're going to have some activities associated with that.
Yep. So everyone learn about donor awareness.
Jean Schultz, IT. Probably the biggest, we always have a lot of different things going on. Our biggest project for quite some time has been the upgrade of the real estate system for the assessors, the auditors, treasurer, and then it also interfaces with a lot of other systems. So that's been our biggest project.
You guys about done?
Yeah, actually, we technically went live last week. The people from the company were here last week. There's one person here this week. There's still issues to work out, you know, but it's a lot better than it was.
Is this Kylan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Doug Bitsy, Public Health. Not too much, but we did get designated as a... See, now I have to think of it, the CAC. We can help people sign up for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act, except we are limiting it just to what we do. We're not hanging our shingle out for all the public. We're coordinating with other entities that are doing that. But we had to do it to continue to sign folks up who qualified for Hawkeye or low-income families with pregnant women or children. So we had to go through that qualification process. We've done some strategic planning, had a strategic plan for some of our programs, and looking towards meeting all the criteria for accreditation. Still, whether or not we actually apply for accreditation under the national program will be a question mark just because of the price tag. And is there really a return on benefit or return on investment? But the criteria are good. It's primarily about how we do things, quality improvement, etc. So that's going to take a lot of our effort there. And I was late because I was at a Blue Zones meeting. Iowa City is running that, looking for that designation. One of the things we're doing is looking at a list of 20 employers, not necessarily the largest employers, but just kind of key employers. Johnson County came up as that, so I'll be going through the wellness committee to see if we can get Johnson County to sign up to meet all the Blue Zone certification. You got 2 years, it'll be real easy. So I'm looking forward to a positive reaction. I can get you all those details.
Great. That's starting to get the assessors and he's working out.
Yeah. Yeah. He's working out like
great. Probably to work out right now.
Dana Christensen, County Attorney's Office. A quick update on my boss, Janet Linus. You probably saw her with the dueling casts on her wrists. That's been upgraded now to braces on both wrists still. A couple more weeks of that. She opted not to go with the hook and hedge trimmer. I recommend it, but nonetheless, I think she's getting there. We were talking yesterday, and it turns out that tomorrow, owing to various personnel issues and leaves, etc., tomorrow will be the first time we are at full staff with attorneys in our office in about 6 months. So that is great news for all of us. What then that full staff is going to be facing in the next 3 months will be the implementation of electronic filing in the clerk's office, which will change the way law is practiced forever. It's gone through a number of counties in Iowa, and I haven't heard of anybody killed yet. So I'm hopeful that this can be dealt with and become an efficient way to practice law. That's all I've got.
Thank you.
Laura Schramek, Human Resources. OSHA logs were posted by February 1st throughout all the buildings. And when we conduct new employee orientations, at the end of those, we'd always take the employee up to meet the Board of Supervisors. And sometimes you'd catch some people, sometimes you wouldn't. So now we're trying to do that at the beginning, so that way if they come in within the next couple of hours, we can still catch them. But if we do not connect with the board, and you find out your new employee has not met anybody off the board, please, next time you have a liaison meeting or they're in your office, please introduce them. Because we're finding more employees just in the newsletter that maybe our board has not met.
Okay. Ian Johnson, Board of Supervisors Assistant. It's taken longer than anticipated, but I think the new meeting management software is working well for the board. Gene's going to come in and ask for more internet capacity because there's enough people listening to the live stream of the meetings. And it's made it a lot easier for me as far as searching when the board's done something and find the meeting and the document. So anyway, Angie and I will be at the point then of starting to assist other departments and boards and committees with it. So we haven't really planned that out, but we'll be in touch about that.
Okay.
I've got a couple things I'm going to cover simply because I look around and I don't see the sheriff here. So I'm going to pinch hit for him on a couple quick things that I think people might want to know. First of all, I don't know if folks saw, but this is a pretty neat award. Detective Lieutenant Kevin Kinney won the Officer of the Year for the state of Iowa from our sheriff's office. And that's a pretty prestigious thing. Doesn't happen all the time. And Kevin's very, very deserving. So if you run into him anywhere and he's not in his professional capacity, say thanks and congratulate him. Also, most of you probably know Joe Lala. Joe's been on the force for a long, long time, and a week from tomorrow is Joe's retirement party. So Joe's going to hang it up. So if you get a chance, stop over at the sheriff's office and thank Joe for several decades of service as well. And so now that I'm done with Lonnie's work.
That's 2 to 4 next week.
2 to 4, yeah. Andy mentioned the strategic plan, and one of the areas in the strategic plan that I have some responsibility for is employee morale. And I keep picking these things that are really hard to get your hands around. And so I'd be curious if anybody has any kind of ideas. You don't have to share them now. You don't have to share them in a public setting. If you just want to talk about some things that you think might help improve morale for either the people in your office or some other office or just yourself, whatever, I'm certainly open to suggestions. I'm getting a lot of little things, but it's hard to get anything that really I can wrap my hands around and we can move forward on. So if you have any ideas, I would love to hear them. Just shoot me an email. That's my report.
Thanks, Joe. Well, I guess I'll be really brief because the stuff I have going on besides regular meetings is going to be with our strategic plan and my specific assigned areas, and if you want to know exactly what those are, they're online. Other than that, My wife's expecting, and that's about it. Yeah, this is our first, and it's a boy.
Good deal. Okay.
Due in May. I think that's everything. All
right, Pat? I don't have any
Yeah, again, thank you all for doing what you do, making us look good. That is your job. And you all know that. So, again, looking at things here, our next meeting will be held on Tuesday, April 15, tax day, about 1 o'clock. And Andy will email the lucky person who is going to be up next with the trivia. Make sure you have your little cards turned in. Don't take them with you. And other than that, is there any discussion from the public? Any other discussion for the good of the group? We are adjourned. Thanks, everybody.